From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues on the theme of Principles of Spiritual Warfare, as he continues with this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, we find Joshua alone at night near Jericho. At that time, he received a visit from the captain of the Lord of Hosts, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord himself came to Joshua to remind him that, although physical activity is necessary in the Lord's work, there must first of all be a meeting with God. Dr. Cairns listed the first principle as a recognition of the reality of the spiritual world. Then, in the spiritual battles, victory is assured because the Lord himself fights for his people. Next, the appearance of the captain of the Lord's hosts taught Joshua that communion with Christ must precede contending with the enemy. The fourth principle is the realization that in this spiritual warfare, the battle is the Lord's. At this point, Dr. Cairns cautions God's people against extremes in spiritual conflict. On the one hand, there is the danger of doing nothing, because after all, God is in control. But on the other hand, some Christians suffer severe guilt, thinking that it all depends on them. A balance between these two is what is needed. The fifth principle teaches us that in these spiritual battles, the Lord is the commander. His people are to follow His orders, not make up their own battle plan. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning comes from Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Joint heirs with Christ. The boundless realms of his Father's universe are Christ's by prescriptive right. As heir of all things, he is the sole proprietor of the vast creation of God, and he has admitted us to claim the whole as ours by virtue of that deed of joint heirship which the Lord hath ratified with his chosen people. The golden streets of paradise, the pearly gates, the river of life, the transcendent bliss, and the unutterable glory are, by our blessed Lord, made over to us for our everlasting possession. All that he has, he shares with his people. The crown royal he has placed upon the head of his church, appointing her a kingdom, and calling her sons a royal priesthood, a generation of priests and kings. He uncrowned himself, that we might have a coronation of glory. He would not sit upon his own throne until he had procured a place upon it for all who overcome by his blood. Crown the head, and the whole body shares the honor. Behold here the reward of every Christian conqueror: Christ's throne, crown, scepter, palace, treasure, robes, heritage are yours. Far superior to the jealousy, selfishness, and greed which admit of no participation of their advantages, Christ deems his happiness completed by his people sharing it. The glory which thou gavest me have I given them. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The smiles of his Father are all the sweeter to him because his people share them. The honors of his kingdom are more pleasing because his people appear with him in glory. More valuable to him are his conquests, since they have taught his people to overcome. He delights in his throne because on it there is a place for them. He rejoices in his royal robes, since over them his skirts are spread. He delights the more in his joy because he calls them to enter into it.
Astonishing mercy and power, in accord with his pleasure and will. microbe and air. He suspended this planet in space to the praise of his glorious grace. To the praise of his glorious grace. To the praise of his glorious grace. Conform to the end he designed. He mysteriously governs and brings his eternal wise plans into time. He works out every step, every trace.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-LTBS. 5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
To a large extent, too many of God's servants and God's people have not learned what it is, as I think Mr. Spurgeon said, when you're praying, to recognize that it all depends on God. But when you're working, go out and work as if it all depended on you. To give it your best, but then to be able to relax in the sovereign control of our God. The battle is His, and He will pursue it. As I say, that will not make us lazy. It will simply give us freedom to serve. The one who said, I will build my church. I will do my will. I will save my people. I will defeat mine enemies. I will glorify my Father. Christ has undertaken to do all those things, and He will do them. Without a doubt, the battle is the Lord's. And the fifth thing we must recognize, that not only is the battle the Lord's, but the leadership in that battle is the Lord's. Joshua came to this stranger and he said, art thou for us? Art thou for us? And that is usually how we phrase the question. Is the Lord for us? Well, the Lord just turns the whole proposition around and He says, it's not so much, am I for you? The question is, are you for me? I am the captain. We have got to understand that the question really is, are we for Him? Now, it is true, the Lord is for His people. The Lord is for us.
And if God be for us, who can be against us? Thank God there's a great comfort in knowing that God is for us. But it's very important that we recognize the Lord is not for us merely as a cheerleader. That's how many churches have relegated him. He's up in the bleachers somewhere. And that's not my language, by the way. I am giving almost a quote, a paraphrase, at least, of a sentiment I heard some time ago from a preacher. And he's up there in the bleachers and he's cheering us on. That is a total blasphemy against Christ. He is not for us as a cheerleader. He is not for us merely as a supporter, though thank God he does support and strengthen us. But he is for us as a sovereign. Oh, that we would recognize that. He is for us as a sovereign. In Isaiah 55, verse 4, the Father says of Christ, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people." That's what he is. You know, in every army, the role of the leader is vital. You go back to the Old Testament, you see the role that David had in the armies of Israel. What confidence they got simply from his presence. In the Second World War, you think of the devotion that a man like General Patton elicited from his troops. Not that I would compare Patton or any other human general with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what I'm doing, but I'm simply saying that a commander of such character, of such leadership ability, with such dash, he could suddenly charge and supercharge ordinary men to fight like supermen. And certainly General Patton had that ability, that his men would follow him. They would do what he told them to do, even though under other circumstances it would appear impossible. The role of the leader, who he is, the kind of leader he is, what he does, how he does it, that's vital to any army. Our leader is the Lord Jesus. Listen to what the New Testament says about him. Here you have four texts with the same word in each one of them. Acts 3:15, he is the Prince of Life. Acts 5:31, he's exalted to be a Prince and a Savior. Hebrews 2:10, he is the Captain of our salvation. And Hebrews 12 verse 2, he is the Author of our faith. Now, the prince, the captain, and the author are all the same Greek word. And they give you a full insight into the meaning of the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the commander. The leadership is his. Now, that means many things. His example, his encouragement, and his effectiveness all give us confidence. We can follow him anywhere. We know he'll make no mistake. There'll be no lack of planning. There'll be no lack of insight. There'll be no lack of resources. There'll be no lack of power. That means a lot. Many of you know that one of my favorite figures in World War II history is the great Field Marshal Montgomery. Americans love to hate him, and so do most of the British, believe it or not. You never had any neutral feelings toward Lord Montgomery. You either loved him or you hated him. If you served under him, you loved him. For one reason. For one reason. In the western deserts, the commanders before him led the British troops in and out of skirmishes and battles with apparently little or no reason. And men were shedding their blood and maiming their bodies and losing their lives, all to gain and lose again in the same day a few hundred yards of meaningless sand.
General Montgomery, as he was then, came on the scene. He said, that will stop. That will stop. He dug in for the greatest defensive battle of the war up until that time. Said, that's the battle we fight, and that's the battle they won. Mr. Churchill was pressing for a great advance. The whole British cabinet, the whole British press, they were calling for an advance. Montgomery said, there'll be no advance. American Sherman tanks are coming in. When we have the tanks, then we will advance. The men suddenly got the realization, here we have a commander who is not going to sacrifice our lives for nothing. He is not going to send us out, as has been done heretofore, before we are equipped. Here is one who will have every detail that he can possibly plan, well planned. He will have every resource on hand. He will have all that any man can do done for us. And those men, many of them did die, but they went to the battle with confidence because their commander had done his work. You lift that up to an infinitely higher level. Our Savior has all the resources. Our Savior knows the end from the beginning. Our Savior makes no mistakes. He loses not one of his people. He never sacrifices the soul of the meanest saint. Oh, what a joy it is to recognize he is our commander. He is our leader. Never forget that. You know, when you get into a church, sometimes you get your eyes on the preacher. Sometimes you're pleased with him, and sometimes you're displeased with him. Well, that's life. If you're pleased with this preacher, thank God. I'm very happy about that. But I want to tell you, I'm not going to get carried away with it, because I realize that by tomorrow morning that could be changed. Not that you're fickle. I don't mean that. But I mean that's life. I have often reminded you of a young lady in my church in Ballymoney. She and her husband, Joan and I, are still very good friends to this day. But she and her family were brought to Christ through the ministry. They owed everything under God to the ministry that we had in Ballymoney. And that young woman, a young lady of considerable genius, She thought that this preacher could do no wrong. She looked up to me the way you would look up to the archangel. And I remember drawing her aside and saying, you better not do that. By the grace of God, I'll do all I can never to fail you. But with the best effort in the world, either I will fail you or you'll think I have failed you. There'll come a time when you'll differ, and I want you to have your eyes on Christ. He's the commander. He's the leader. She saw the wisdom of that. It's vital for us all. You get your eyes on the preacher, and you only do things to please a preacher or to please a church, or you get your eyes on the church. Now, I'm a Free Presbyterian, not by accident, but by conviction. I'm here because I am convinced that God called me here and God placed me here, and I wouldn't take $1 million a week and be anywhere else. And I mean that quite literally. But if you zero in on the denomination or the church, and that's all you see, first of all, you're setting yourself up for a fall, for disappointment. You become embittered. And secondly, you're inhibiting your service. Oh, that you would see Christ. He is the commander. And if you see the Savior, you will realize that He demands your best, but He deserves your best. There'll be times when you will look at me or look at the church or look at sinners or look at the situation and say, I can't be bothered. Those people don't deserve that effort from me. What right have they to expect that effort from me? But oh, get your eyes on Christ, and you'll realize that He always deserves your best. You're not serving the church. You're not serving the preacher. When you give your money, you're not giving it to me or to this session and committee, except as servants of the Christ of God. You give of your substance and of yourself to the Savior. He deserves your best.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.